The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Here we go. We are back. Believe you me. What is going on, Mr. Bisping?
Believe you me is back. Lewis has finally decided to come back from... I don't know what was going on. We had Harrington filling in the other day. In fact, you know, at this stage, Lewis, it's more like Lewis is filling in for Harrington. You know, what with your, you know, your temper outbursts, your slap boxing, your general shitty organization of life, which you're leaving me high and dry. But it's okay. Harrington did a stellar job the other day. The people are loving him, but you got to be careful, Lewis, because he is encroaching on your territory.
Those are very big shoes to fill, Mike Harrington's. And, you know, so to be honest with you, I'm happy to be able to just step in. You know, I'm very humbled to be able to sit in the Mike Harrington chair on Believe You Me once in a while. And to be honest with you, I'm not even going to try too hard. I'm going to steer the ship a little bit. I'm going to try to make you shine. I'm going to shine the light on Michael Bisping. And, to be honest with you, as long as, I don't fuck things up too much, maybe we'll have Harrington back in the next show.
Well, see, because the thing is, I remember we did a competition a while ago. People had to send in their, you know, the nominations, if you will, for the Body Transformation Challenge. And you're still yet to present yourself with your shirt off.
Neither
Harrington told, yeah, well, that's okay. You can just fucking Google me. I'm everywhere with my shirt off, okay? And don't let the fact that I haven't worked out in 6 weeks because of a bad knee and a knee replacement fool you. I'm still there. I've still got a 10-pack, baby boy. Yeah, right. But Harrington, without even being asked, without even being triggered or any ball busting, just randomly pulled his shirt off. He's proud of himself. He shadow boxed. He looked mean. He looked like he could take you in a one-on-one fight, Lewis. I'll be honest.
To be honest with you, Harrington hasn't washed his clothes in a month. So the fact that he took his clothes off in this studio and let them possibly touch the furniture and the microphones and the equipment, we're going to have another conversation after the show.
Okay, no, please do, and I'd love to hear all about that. But how have I been? I've been pretty good. My knee's, you know, hurting still. I damaged it last night in the middle of the night, which I won't bore everybody
with. Was it when you were doing fucking Karate Kid kicks to your son like a psycho? What is wrong with you?
No. And in fact, because a lot of people on that Instagram video that you're talking about said, "What are you doing, Mike? Slow down." The doctor, I tagged the doctor in the video. It's fine. I cannot injure myself by doing too much, okay? It doesn't work like that. Knee replacements aren't like that. There's no more tendons, no ACL, no PCL, no MCL. They're all gone. It's a mechanical knee. It's robotic. It's fine. But in the middle of the night, I must have been fast asleep and like flopped my leg off the side of the bed and it tried to bend the other direction. I woke up in the night. Oh, my God. Screaming. It was so bad. It was bad. But that was the end. Well, not quite the end to have... possibly the end to a fantastic evening. In fact, two fantastic evenings going to watch Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins live in concert in Los Angeles. A very intimate show, only like a couple of hundred people there. Rebecca and Billy Corgan, now they're like best mates on Instagram.
I see that.
You know, he hooked it up. There they are. Look at them. Look at that. Rebecca's
wow.
So happy.
I mean, to be honest with you, Mike, I've never seen her look happier. I mean, go back to that picture for a second. Just look at the look on her face. This is like genuine joy. And look at the way that his arm is around her. He's almost like bringing her into him. Their body language, they're facing each other. Their bodies are turned in toward each other. That is a very, you said intimate, and that is the right word. I would describe this picture as intimate.
I have never seen Rebecca smile like that. Even on our wedding day, she didn't smile like that. You know, she, I mean, you could... You could say that she's miserable. She's a miserable cow most of the time. I'll say, babe, smile.
That's a sneer. That's a sneer. That's not a smile. That's a, ugh. What am I doing here?
That's her with her loved one, her father of her three children. I mean, the man's a fine figure. He's got a beautiful leather jacket on. He's taking her out for the night. He's braving the elements with a bad knee. And all I get is half a smile. With Billy, Jesus Christ, lights up the room. It was like the Northern Lights. It was like a satellite beaming into the air. People could see. You could navigate planes, smiling so vigorously.
Well, she calls him William. It's William Corgan to her. They have a different type of relationship. Was that night, by the way? Was that the night of the concert?
That was the first night. So the first night on Tuesday, we went to the concert and then we went backstage. By the way, thank you, William, Billy, whichever it is. Very kindly. All backstage, all access passes, backstage, reserved seating for us. It was beautiful. It was really nice. I hit up because Billy Corgan, he has a wrestling league called NWA Wrestling. And I saw him talking about it on the Joe Rogan podcast. So Rebecca's like a lifelong fan. Her and her best friend, Tina, you know, they obsess over Smashing Pumpkins. So you're right. It probably sounds like, what am I doing? Because she has obsessed over this man forever. And her and Tina are like the biggest fans ever. And I saw on the Joe Rogan podcast that he had his own wrestling organization. And I thought, well, if he has a wrestling organization, then maybe he's, he knows about the UFC and things like that. So I'll shoot my shot. So I shot him a message. I said, hey, listen, just want to let you know, my wife is like the biggest fan ever, blah, 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 blah. Primed him up pretty good. I said, if you could just shoot her a message and say hi, I said, that'd mean the world to her. And
what is what is wrong with you? You're literally setting up your wife to cheat on you with a rock star. You're the person who facilitated this. If this happens, I'm going to tell you right now, it's your fault. You only have yourself to blame.
Rock star, schmuck star, champion of the motherfucking world, okay? All right? Champion of the motherfucking world. One-eyed badass, okay? The original BMF. Fucking bring it, motherfucker. I'll go head-to-head all day. I don't care. No, I'm very comfortable. Rebecca's not that girl, and he's not. He's a married man. So, he was very nicely. Shot a message back, reached out to Rebecca. And them two, they're fans and whatever. She's a fan, so talk about music and whatnot. And we went to watch the show. Incredible. Absolutely beautiful show. That man is such an incredibly talented musician. My God, I had no idea. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm pretty new to like bands, if to be honest. Because when I was younger, I wanted to be a DJ. Well, I was a DJ. So I was obsessed with rap music and I was obsessed with dance music, house, trance, that type of stuff. So realistically, real music performed by instruments never really got a look in with me until I met Rebecca and she started bringing me over to the right side, the correct side, if you will. And yeah, absolutely sensational.
Yeah.
So good. We went back the second night. We went back last night as well. That's how good it was, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, they're great. I love the Smashing Pumpkins. I grew up on the Smashing Pumpkins. I grew up playing music, so they were like a big influence on my band when I was playing. Great live band. I remember I had their live video of Euphoria back in the day, but a bunch of great hits. A little whiny, to be honest with you. It's almost like Radiohead, Smashing Pumpkins. You gotta, like a man, you can't play that music in the gym. You can't play fucking Tonight while you're trying to pump iron or do MMA fighting.
Yeah. But you know what he did? To be honest, there wasn't many Smashing Pumpkins songs on. He did have the first night, the original guitarist from Smashing Pumpkins come on, and then last night, like the new guitarist. But realistically, it was just him, a violinist, and him playing the piano and the guitar. It was a lot of like folk-style music, some classics. He did play on the first night, Nights in White Satin by the Moody Blues, which, funnily enough, was our wedding song. It was our wedding song, our first ever dance, me and Rebecca, at our wedding. He performed, and he did his own personal rendition, which blew it out the water. And forgive me if I saw them exchange a glint. There was a look in their eyes as he said, Nights in White Satin. Fuck Michael Biskin. Just come with me. And I'm like, hold on a minute. What is going on?
I love how you're watching your wedding song and you're having like a moment. You're like, oh, I remember our wedding night. It was so beautiful. Meanwhile, him and her are just staring into each other's eyes, having their own separate moment. That is amazing.
Nothing away at me. Mr. One Eye, One Knee, oblivious to it. Oh, it's great. Isn't it, babe? Isn't this awesome? Oh my God. He's doing our wedding song. He's doing our wedding song. How awesome is this? And they're like, yeah, we know. We planned it, motherfucker. You idiot. No, listen, he was absolutely amazing. Thank you very much. I know for a fact he's not listening to this, but if you are, thank you for the hookup, the tickets. It was incredible. Yeah, had an amazing night.
I just realized how much Billy Corgan looks like Charlie Brown. He really looks like a grown-up adult Charlie Brown.
He does. He does kind of do that. You were saying off air earlier, Lewis, about concerts. You were going to say, what's the best concert I've ever been to? But what's the best concert you've ever been to?
There's a few. There's a few, and it's for different reasons. So the best concert I've ever, if I had to just say hands down one concert, would love to experience it again. I saw Nine Inch Nails 2 summers ago. And it was like an outdoor, what was that festival that was on New York a couple of years ago? It was Nine Inch Nails, Tribe Called Quest. I don't remember the name of the festival. It was incredible, dude. I'm not like one of these big outdoor festival guys.
Panorama Fest.
Panorama Fest, yes, dude. But I grew up on Nine Inch Nails. I grew up on like Marilyn Manson, heavy metal music. I really got into like that style of music when I was in high school. And by the way, also, you know, Marilyn Manson, 1998, I saw him during the Antichrist Superstar Tour. Incredible concert. But the nostalgia factor, the way they did the live show, they had like cameras on stage. So the, like all these roaming cameras, and it was really creepy. All these big Megatron screens, the live show and the experience was so cool. And that's, by the way, sort of what has had to have happened with music. Same thing with comedy, even MMA, the way the live experience is now, it is so crazy and over the top. And I think with the internet and the way that people sort of are able to take content, I think having a really amazing live experience is going to be what differentiates everything. And I watch it happen with the UFC, because I was going to UFC events for years now, and you just saw how big it's grown and how big of a show it is. And concerts, it's sort of the same thing. Like, you can't get that. You can't buy a record. You can't buy a video. Going and watching Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails perform the way they did in this crazy show.
Hold on. Can't buy a record. I have a plethora of records behind me. I'm still adding to the record collection. In fact, just recently I bought Fleetwood Mac Greatest Hits on vinyl, and Amazon got fucking up. I know, but I'm just playing along for the sake of a podcast. Amazon keeps sending me Fleetwood Mac Greatest Hits on vinyl. I have 4 fucking copies. So contrary to what you're saying, you can still buy records.
You can't get that experience on a record, is what I'm saying.
Oh, sorry. Pardon me. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I never went to many concerts growing up in Clitheroe and being more into dance music. I was never a concert guy. Did go to some raves, went to a lot of raves. I went to a lot of dingy nightclubs. I went to a lot of hardcore nightclubs and went dancing to the early hours of the night. But yeah, concerts wasn't really our thing. It is now, though. It is now. Now we're in LA. Obviously, there's artists all over the place. Every weekend, there's someone cool you can go and watch. So that's what we're trying to do these days. But yeah, that was fun last night. What else is going on in your world? Oh, hold on. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, this morning, yet again, Lewis, we're trying to text. We're trying to text each other. It's early. It's 7:30. And par for the course, once again, he has to call straight away. And I hang up. I said, dude, I can't do it in the morning. I cannot text you. I cannot have a conversation with you. You're 3 hours ahead on 17 coffees, okay? Operating at a much, much different mental ratio than I am at that morning. I've just got out of bed. He's like, no, I cannot text. I cannot text because my thumb is killing me. Poor little guy. He hurt his thumb slapboxing with his buddy.
Well, here's what happened. First of all, okay, it wasn't 7:30 in the morning. This is fucking like an hour ago. We're texting back and forth the things we want to do for the show. So I go to text him a topic, which we're going to talk about as well. And for some reason, CNN wasn't allowing me to grab the actual link. It was just sending a link for justcnn.com. So I sent it. So he goes, nope, not talking about politics. Sorry, bro. And he writes this long text message about how he doesn't want to talk about politics. And I was like, no, it's not politics. It's a story about Fortnite. And I'm trying to text it, and my thumb is killing me, and I keep on making mistakes. And then he keeps on sending more text messages, be like, nope, don't want to talk about this. Fuck John McCain. And I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to talk about politics. And then I call you, because at this point, I've written 15 typos, and I'm crying in pain, and he deads the call. And as soon as he deads the call, I'm like, this fucking motherfucker. It made me so angry.
I have told you so many times, don't do it, bro. Don't do it. Listen, Lewis, we know. You know what I mean? You're on your ADD medication, which is a stimulant. You drink a lot of coffee nonstop, which is a stimulant. We've talked about it on the podcast. You talk at me and then just hang up. You don't even say bye. It is not a cordial phone call. The etiquette of the phone call is not followed with you, okay? You have your own phone call criteria. You call, you shout, you hang up. I hold the phone here, you blast it in my ear, and then, yeah, he's gone. So now I don't even listen. I don't even listen. I'm like, let's just do it via text, okay? And it turns out you can't because you were slap boxing, which I got to say, very juvenile, but talk me through this terrible affliction, this injury that's going to hold you back. Talk me through it. Then I believe we have the video, but please go ahead.
Look how black and blue it is. That's not like lighting. That's the black and blue of my hand. It looks like a thumb.
Look at the black and blue of my hand. Look at it. It's so black and blue. And this one, It looks like a usual hand.
If the glove doesn't fit, don't quit, or something like that. My hand's fucked up. Look how fat my thumb is. Look.
Yeah, but you've always been a fat thumbed motherfucker.
Ooh, hold on, you I said son fat of a bitch. Thumb.
Thumbed, you fat thumbed motherfucker, you. Okay, all right, roll the tape, because we have a tape. I want to see it. Who is it? You and Dave Smith?
No, it was me and Jeremiah Watkins.
Slap, we'll get
slap. Whoa!
That was a drop.
Nah, Lewis stole it at the end of the round. Lewis stole it at the end of the round.
Okay.
Yeah,
and now look at this. After this, he's sitting on the floor on a street in New York with a big bag of ice. He's got the sycophants around him. They're all filming. He's got a bucket of ice for the audio listeners. He's looking very sorry, very pathetic. He's lapping up the attention. He wants people to feel sorry for himself, bringing him medical supplies, bringing him buckets of ice, bringing him towels, maybe a little spray, maybe a little disinfectant, maybe a little Neosporin in case you burst the skin. You know, and people are like, are you okay? Do we need to call the ambulance? He's like, no. You've bruised your thumb, Lewis. That's all.
They almost forced me to go to the hospital. I had to fight people to not go to the hospital. Because what happened was, I guess I slapped it. It hit his elbow, and the thumb bent back. So it hurt. Dude, it's so stupid, but it hurt like fucking hell. You don't know about injuries, Mr. Bisping, okay? You have no idea what it's like to be injured in a physical confrontation or some sort of physical match, okay? This is a real deal thing right now. And I'm still here. Do you know how difficult it was to grip my MetroCard and slide it through the machine?
You are correct. I have no concept of this getting injured while doing something physical. I've seen it on TV. I've read about it in one of the many, many historical books that I read. You know, because in this modern day and age, there is no place for such barbaric behavior on the street. But I will say this. The way you described it to me, you made it sound and look like something much more manly. I didn't realize you were galloping up and down the sidewalk, you know, like a little fairy, going, chase me, and slapping one another. What I had in my mind, Harrington and O'Brien, roll the tape. This is what I had in my mind. You said, oh, yeah, slap boxing, fucking about. Yeah, I've injured my thumb, baby boy. We don't fuck about on the mean streets of Brooklyn, right? Here's what I had in my mind. Look at this. Tattoo John smacking fucking...
Oh.
No! For the audio listeners, we have a person covered in tattoos slapping a gigantic man with a beard in the face, and the bearded man doesn't move, and then the big bearded man smacks the other guy and pretty much knocks him out. But that was manly. That was macho. I want to be those guys. You know, you had me thinking I want to be like Luis J. Gomez, but then when I saw you prancing up and down the sidewalk in New York, I was like, I'm not sure if I can do this podcast anymore, if I'm honest.
It was the sweet science. It was slap boxing. That is a slap competition. I've seen those before, and it's basically where they just stand there and they go blow for blow as they slap each other, which is fucking psychotic. It's just psychotic. First of all, the one guy literally got knocked out. I mean, if you have a big enough hand, an open palm strike to somebody's jaw, you can knock them out. I mean, it's not that crazy.
Classic. I've done it so many times. When I was younger and I used to get into fights, you know, I wouldn't punch him. But, you know, because a punch is one thing, but a slap you can almost get away with. You know what I mean? It's not, I didn't, I, hey, I didn't punch him in the face. I just gave him a slap. And some people need a good slap now and again. Now, I'll be honest, I haven't punched or slapped anybody in a long, long time, unless in a professional environment. But I would be lying if I said that I hadn't slapped a few people in beer gardens over the years. You know, but one guy was looking for a fight in front of all his friends, and he was calling me out and talking shit, and he wanted to go. You know, and I thought, I'm not going to lower myself and punch him and roll around the floor with this guy. But I will give him a good little bitch slap. How's that feel? Yeah, you don't want any of this. Walk away, dickhead. Walk away. And he's like, and he'd walk away. He'd walk away, Lewis. Next time I'm in New York,
me and
you.
A slap is worse, Mike. A slap,
yeah.
What a slap is, it's saying to you, you are below me. You're a woman. What you're saying is, in that moment, is like, this is how women fight. They slap each other. So you are a woman to me, and I'm going to give you a slap. You're not even worth a punch. It is so much worse than just punching the guy. At least just punching the guy can fucking have the pride of going like, all right, I lost a fight to Michael Bisping, versus having to live with the fact that he got bitch slapped in front of all of his friends for the rest of his life, and there was nothing he could do about it.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not like a woman. You're treating them like a little bitch. Okay, that's exactly what it is. And I remember now what it was. This guy that I slapped, by the way, we're in this pub, and he was trying to start a fight with my friend, right? And then I actually was the mediator in this scenario, in this circumstance. And I was like trying to break it up, and the doorman came, and, you know, we're breaking it all up. And I'm like, well, yo, you know, I'm in the middle. I'm at the forefront trying to break it up. And then the doorman came over, and I was in the middle, and the doorman thought that I was maybe the instigator. So they grabbed hold of me. I was only like 18 at the time. So they grabbed hold, you know, they wouldn't try that shit now. They would not put their hands on me, Lewis. But back then, they grabbed hold of me. And as they were pulling me out the pub, this prick leans over. When I had my arms, when I was like this, being held up by security, bang, punched me in the face. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, I'll see you, buddy. I will see you around. And then when I saw him, I gave him a little slap. I mean, listen, Lewis, this is a terrible affliction that you have. What kind of things is this limiting you from doing right now?
Well, number one, texting has been very difficult. Number two, trying to surf the internet has been very difficult, doing research for this show.
Stop. Don't. I know where this is going. You're trying to sex text late at night. You're trying to surf the internet. I don't want to know what's coming next, okay, with your bad hand that you can't pull off, you know, that you've been using Bluetooth for. The believers don't want to hear about your masturbating habits being affected by your slap boxing, okay?
What can't I pull off, you say? Luckily, and this is the truth, I'm left-handed when I'm with myself, so I browse with the right hand, which these four fingers are fine. It's the thumb, so I can't really do a space. It's kind of tough.
Isn't that bizarre? I'm left-handed, but when alone, I become right-handed. Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
But it's weird. Let's not dwell on this, please.
I don't know, dwell, but it is an interesting point, because when you consider the fact that we all, you know, we're browsing porn or whatever. Preemptively, it's almost like my mind knew that one day I was going to need my right hand free in order to type, and it just trained myself to go with my left hand when I was a kid. So God bless myself. But the real thing that's bothering me, as you know, I've become pretty damn good at Fortnite, and I play with the BYM fans. Look out for me, PR Rattlesnake on Epic. And I play Fortnite, and I've gotten pretty good. And the reason I've gotten pretty good is because I play a lot.
Yeah.
I've tried to get you to play with me.
I don't. Listen, Lewis, I'm a busy man, okay? I do this podcast. I commentate for the UFC. I do pre and post fight shows. I have an acting career. I have three children. I have a wife. I have multiple things, and I'm an investor in Playland. I'm off to England this weekend, by the way. I'm off to Nottingham and Woking this weekend. Grand opening of UFC Gym Nottingham. I'll be there if you're in the area. Go check it out. I'm a busy man. I do not have time to sit around and play video games with teenagers online, Lewis. You know, I mean, I'm trying to make money, okay? You don't make money playing video games, okay? Simple as that.
Some people do. First of all, the Fortnite World Cup just happened. The winner of the Fortnite World Cup won like $4 or $5 million, okay? So that's what I'm going for. Listen to me. Podcasting, very short-sighted. Fortnite will be around forever, okay? So I'm going to get myself into the fucking pros. Look, obviously I'm not playing for money, but I do have a lot of fun playing it, and I've been limited. My thumb, I can't use my right thumb, so now I've just been watching people play online and just I imagine that's what it's like when you watch people fight. Like now when I watch people play Fortnite online, I'm just on the sidelines. God damn it, that used to be me.
Well, I mean, you're asking me a question and I'd like to answer it, but I'm sorry. Once again, you're digressing in life. You're going backwards instead of forwards, because what you're telling me now is you do what Lucas does all the time. If I leave Lucas alone, who, may I remind everybody, is a 9-year-old child, he watches other people on YouTube play video games. So that is what you are doing. Okay, good to know.
It's bizarre. My son does the same thing, by the way, and it, so much so... This is how popular that category is for kids. They just started making TV shows out of streamers. There's one show that I saw on like Disney or whatever, and it's whatever Rewind, and it just has clips from different streamers, and they come up, and it's a clip show, and they just show them playing a different video game, then the next guy playing a different video game, and my son loves this. There's one guy named Brian Saviano who plays like a bunch of different video games. My son watches him stream on Amazon. I followed the guy on Twitter because I wanted him to follow me back because I got a blue check mark. I was like, oh, I'll get him to maybe stream with my kid one day, play a video game. This fucking guy ignored me. It's making me so angry.
Here's what you got to do. Here's your move. You reach out. You say that your significant other is a big fan. You send a hot picture of your wife almost naked. Guess what? He'll reach out. He'll give you a follow. He'll get you. You'll be playing Fortnite with that guy in no time. No, you're right. Listen, it's crazy. I'm busting your balls, obviously. By the way, for those people that don't know, and I can't believe I have to explain this, because sometimes when I'm busting your balls or I'm busting Harrington's, they're like, Mike, you need to relax. I'm having a laugh. I'm busting fucking balls. But it is crazy that in this day and age, you're right, Fortnite and all these types of YouTubers, it's massive. It's big, big business. So much money to be made. Because my company, Playline, we're involved in the esports world as well. And, you know, in the esports world, which is crazy, they sell out these huge arenas. I think we've talked about this before. 50,000 people sitting around watching these kids play video games. And the prizes are for millions and millions of dollars. But there was a story just happened, wasn't there, with one of the main Fortniters. Explain this, or Harrington or someone. So set it up, Lewis. What happened?
So I don't know his name. Maybe you guys can give me some more information. But he's a Fortnite streamer, professional Fortnite player. And I think he's pretty successful, too. I don't know the streamers that well, but this kid, apparently he was caught cheating on Fortnite. He was using what they call an aimbot.
Well, just let me stop you right there and continue, by the way, in a second. Yeah, you're right. He's very, very successful, because when you sent me this story, I looked it up. This guy lives in an $11.7 million mansion in Los Angeles. Okay. Now, call me stupid, but come on, listen, you're a Fortniter. You're doing well. You're earning money, okay? You're maybe getting rich, but to go out and buy an $11 million mansion, I mean, come on. Slow your roll, baby boy. But please, continue, explain.
I mean, that's crazy. I didn't even know they were making that much money. I know the guy who just won the World Cup won like $3 or $4 million, but I guess with endorsements, and if they really hustle, they do tournaments, they do a lot of stuff. I cannot hate. Okay, more power to him. If there's a viable way to go make millions of dollars to become rich and have your... This is his house?
FaZe Rugs. No, yeah.
Harrington?
He just brought up a random here by the looks of it. Oh, FaZe Rug. Is that his name? FaZe Rug?
Yeah. So it's the FaZe team. It's a team of esports players, a bunch of like young kids. They went in on this mansion together. It's like a $12 million mansion.
Okay, so FaZe team. I get it. So FaZe Rug, he's Rug on that team. You'll see they do that sometimes. So it's the name of the team first and then the player's name. Okay, so he's not that, but he's still pretty fucking rich, I'm assuming, if he's on that team and they have that. So what happened was he got caught cheating. Now, in Epic Games, not even if you're a professional streamer, Bisping, if you get caught cheating on Fortnite, the way it is, it's an online community, it's a free game, okay? And if you guys don't know what Fortnite is, it's a 100 guys drop in, every man for themselves, last person alive wins. Very, very competitive, very entertaining game to watch. But if you get caught cheating, they ban you forever. You cannot play.
Rightly
so. You can't even play with your friends online. Like, you cannot play the game ever again. Not compete professionally, not compete in the World Cup. That's it. You're not allowed to go on again. And this guy, who's a professional gamer, got caught cheating, and he's now banned. And he put out this video where he's very
upset.
Yeah,
but hold on. So I was looking into this, and he was using what's called an aimbot. I was reading the article this morning. Sounds like you didn't even read the article, Lewis.
I said aimbot, you piece of shit.
All right. So let me break down what an aimbot is. Normally, you have to take your time, get your crosshairs, get your target right on the target, shoot, and boom, you kill the guy. But this thing, it kind of automatically aims for you, and it allows you to see through walls and things like that. So very, very beneficial if you have an aimbot, and rightly so, they have been banned because there's a lot of money involved. So go on. So apparently, he got caught by Fortnite. He's been banned. As I said, he's generating tons of money. He lives in an $11 million home. He's, as you said, he wins $3, $4 million at a time. So he got caught. He got banned. And what's he done?
Play the video with him apologizing. This is his reaction to finding out he's no longer going to be able to play Fortnite.
I'm not sure how many of you know this, but I've actually been permanently banned on Fortnite for life. Recently, I posted some videos of me using aimbot in solos and playground mode, and just all I was thinking about whilst I was making those videos was just how entertaining and like interesting these videos would be for you guys to watch. It's crazy that I can never play Fortnite again or even create content for you guys. Oh, you know, I'm still gonna love this game. No matter what happens, like, I just wish I could have known how badly I was messing up, because I would never have ever thought of even making those kind of videos if I knew that this could have actually happened. I know now how big of a mistake this was, and like, it's just, there's nothing I can
do. It's fucked up.
So what you're saying is I can't fight in the UFC anymore because all I did was take some steroids, and I didn't know that you couldn't take steroids. And you're saying I can't fight in the UFC anymore?
Trying to make it more entertaining for the fans.
I was just trying to win by any means necessary. And you're saying I can't make millions of dollars from the video game anymore?
Oh, shit.
I should have just done that every time. Anytime anybody pops from USADA, that's what they should do. Get their mom involved and do a video of them crying their eyes out. Listen.
Isn't it crazy, though, that Epic has a stricter policy on cheating than mixed martial arts?
I do want to know this. To be fair, he said that he didn't know. I mean, surely they've got to know that if you cheat in something like that, where there's massive amounts of money involved, there's got to come with huge consequences as well. Listen, I feel for the kid, right? But it does sound like he was cheating, you know? And he's had a good run. He's made tons of money. If he's a YouTuber or whatever it is that he does, he's got a big following. He can go and play other games. But it sounds like his days on Fortnite are numbered.
Maybe. I mean, look, here's the thing. I would say if it wasn't in competition where it was like a tournament where there was money on the line, maybe doing some sort of 3-month ban, 6-month ban. It's funny. We are having the same conversation like we're talking about mixed martial arts. It's so hilarious, you know?
It's ridiculous.
But a lifetime ban when he's just playing with some friends, making a video. I'm sort of torn on it, right? Because I do play the game. But you have these kids where they don't realize, fuck it, they're not reading the terms of service like that. I believe him when he says that. Like, he didn't know that he would be banned for life. He probably was like, oh, fuck, if I get caught, maybe I'll get my account suspended or whatever. But you have these kids put hours and hours, 10 hours, 12 hours a day into playing this game. It becomes their entire life, their entire existence. Not only that, it's their friends. It's their community. I talk to people that I play Fortnite with more than I talk to my close friends. You know, I'm on with them for hours. If something's going on in my life, we have a regular conversation. So their entire social life is sort of built into this game as well. So this kid is now just a fucking pimply-faced 14-year-old kid being like, I have nothing now.
That's why you're more and more, by the day, becoming more and more of a weirdo, Lewis. You're wearing the glasses, you're growing the pedophile mustache and the facial hair. You're counseling with children late at night at 3 o'clock in the morning, going through your problems, your personal shit. They're kids, Lewis. You know, their screen names, they might sound adult, but they're children. Listen, I don't play Fortnite. I don't engage in these video games. I do know through Playland, these esports teams, they have personal trainers. They have dietitians that come to their house. They all live in these houses. And trainers come to the house and teach them how to play Fortnite better, or they teach them this, and they have special diets and all this type of stuff. It's crazy. It's a shame for this kid. He didn't know followed the rules, but he broke the rules. And rules are not made to be broken. I don't care what you say. You break the rules, you pay the price, you pay the piper. That's it. Live with the consequences. If this company allows him back, what type of lesson are they teaching these children? You got to be held accountable, baby boy. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But you're going to have to go find another fucking video game, you cheating little cunt, okay?
You're not fucked up.
Even you couldn't even abide by the rules in a video game. Do not trust this guy, okay? Do not trust him as far as you can throw him. If you're going to cheat in a video game, what else is he going to cheat at? This guy has got no morals. He's got no moral barometer. He's got no moral compass. Yeah,
poor Jarvis. I feel bad because, first of all, you know, he's from England. You're from England. You're probably one of his heroes. I mean, there's not many British people that you could look up to. OK, so the fact that you're trashing him, you're mocking him, crying, telling him go fuck himself. This you might drive this kid into a very, very deep depression. Just realize what you're responsible for here.
Listen, if you know, and God forbid he does something stupid, if he does that, that ain't on me. The kid's already crying his eyes out. The kid's already crying. The damage is done. The damage is done. He is broken. This is a broken child we're dealing with right here. This kid needs therapy. This kid needs to speak to somebody. He needs to speak to a professional. He does not need to be speaking to the Puerto Rican rattlesnake who's out of his mind on all kinds of illicit drugs at 4 o'clock in the morning. Speak to a trained professional, please. And on that note, can we please just move on away from Jarvis, whatever his the hell his name is. I wish you the best, kid. I do. You're a fellow Englishman. You broke the rules. It's a shame. I wish you all the best.
Mike, I am so excited about our newest sponsor right now. I just ordered my brand new, beautiful, amazing, incredible, sexy Vincero wristwatch. I don't need your watches, Bisping. I dropped so many hints. Michael, all you got 25 fucking beautiful watches. You don't need all those watches. It'd be nice if I had a nice watch. He hasn't picked up a single hint, but luckily we have our own brand new wristwatch sponsor, so I don't need you.
Yeah, well, guess what? I'm more happier than you because I don't need to give you one now, okay? I was contemplating giving you a watch, okay? No. But now I'm like, now, fuck you. You don't need to because, number one, you can buy a beautiful watch. These Vincero watches are beautiful. If you go to the website, you will see exactly what I'm talking about, and we have a fantastic offer. But listen, for a guy, a good watch, you know, it's a good, as I've said many times, sunglasses, and a good watch. I think they're the two things that a man needs. What am I saying? What's the word I'm looking for? The two accessories. Accessories. There we go. They're the two accessories that a man needs. Okay. If you, as I say, you go to their website and have a look, you will see they offer free shipping worldwide. They got over 18,000 five-star reviews on their website, which you can go read for yourself. Vincero puts a lot of focus into making sure their customers have an unbeatable experience. Plus, they will make an incredible gift. Of course, Christmas, the holidays, just around the corner. So it's a perfect time to pick up a timepiece for that significant other. The bottom line is, a great watch tells the world what you're all about. That's what I'm saying. It's one of the great accessories that you need. You arrive, meeting, whatever it is. They look, they see what's on your wrist. They look at it. They go, this is a man of taste. This is a man of class. This is a man of means, a man of wealth, a man that I want to be associated with, maybe get into bed with, or even do business with.
And I got to be honest with you, we haven't even really talked about the fact that you can tell what time of day it is.
Wow.
It gives you the time, baby boy.
I'm sorry. I got to disagree with you. I believe the telling of the time on the watch is obsolete these days, okay? I do, right? I have generally wear a watch. I don't use it for the time. It's a status piece. It's an accessory. It looks good. It's a fashion piece. The good news is, listen, you can go to your iPhone and see the time. You can go to your iPhone and see the time.
I swear to you, my watch is not set. The time is not set on my watch. I'm not even lying about that.
Yeah. It's an accessory. Unfortunately, with these Vincero watches, right, they're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful, and they will give the impression that you want. As I said, business deal, you will close it. Little girl on the side, you will close that. Whatever it is. Okay, whatever it is, they will see you. They will see you in a different light. They'll be like, wow, this guy has taste, he has class, and he knows a good watch. And seriously, if you do go to the website, which is vincerowatches.com, you will see what I'm talking about. That is V-I-N-C-E-R-O, vincerowatches.com. And by the way, don't you dare pay full price. please use the code BELIEVE. You'll get 15% off. Okay, so you got a child, you got a son, you got a wife, a daughter, girlfriend, boyfriend, just somebody you want to treat something nice to for Christmas, holiday, birthday, or maybe just yourself. Go to VinceroWatches.com. Check out the massive array of styles that they have. You want formal, you want sporty, they've got it all. And use the code BELIEVE, 15% off. Okay, where were we? Something big I want to talk about. It relates to UFC 244 last weekend. Your personal guy that you have a huge boner for. And to be fair, a lot of the fight community, I'm talking about Nate Diaz. Everybody, look, a lot of people love Nate Diaz. I love Nate Diaz. I'm a huge fan of watching him fight. What I'm not a huge fan is some of the antics. Some of the antics, right? The accountability, we just spoke about that with this YouTuber. You know, if you do something, you got to be held accountable, okay? If you lose a fight, you lose a fight. You don't start blaming the world. Is that your phone, Lewis?
No,
is that
my
your
computer.
Phone?
I apologize. Yeah.
No, so here's what happened. He's gone out there. He lost the fight to Jorge Masvidal. We never got a chance to speak about this. Obviously, you had something on the last show. He lost the fight. He got his ass kicked from pillar to post. He got dropped three times. And that fight was one-way traffic. The referee stepped in, called the doctor. The doctor stopped the fight. The doctor deemed the cut so bad, he had to stop the fight. Now, of course, in typical Diaz fashion, Nick Diaz, Nate Diaz, I'm not trying to be a dick to them, but this is true. This is not the first time. They don't accept reality. They're like, nope. GSP did not beat me. No, Masvidal did not beat me. And he even said in his post, which, by the way, I'm doing a very, very long-winded job of getting to the fact that he says he's now retired. He's thrown his toys out of the pram. He spat out his dummy and he said, listen, oh, you're going to pull that fight away from me? I'm retired. Here it is. Fuck a rematch. Fuck a rematch. This shit was over before it got started. I'm going on out on tour. Peace out. Fight game. And then the first comment is, hey, can't blame you. Sycophants. Yes, mate. People kissing ass. Leading this narrative. Go ahead.
What? I'm trying to understand his point. Is he saying that... He was saying that it's some sort of conspiracy against him, that the fight was, you know, they were looking to stop the fight before...
Well... I don't know where I saw this. I saw it this morning prior to the show. I don't know if it was on Instagram or Twitter or somewhere, but I did see him. He said, I could see the fuckery from the beginning. And I wish I knew where I saw that.
He said it on Twitter. I'm looking up the, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, he said, I could see the fuckery from the beginning. So what he's, you know, unfortunately, he's just got this conspiracy theory that the UFC are against him. The UFC don't want him to win. UFC just put him in a big fight against Pettis. They then put him in a, yeah, it's psychotic. Then they put him in a main event with a belt. A belt. They created a belt for Diaz. You know what I mean? And now he thinks because he didn't win the fight, because the doctor stopped the fight, that the UFC had some kind of hand in instigating this and that it was all a fix right from the get-go. And now because of that, he's going to retire. It's just, it's unattractive to me.
I agree. It's stupid. But once again, it wouldn't be the Diaz brothers if they didn't pull this shit, right? And it's part of the reasons why I love them, because it's not like it's an angle. It's not like it's Colby Covington where it's just some angle he's going for to get people talking. No, they're fucking crazy. And he believes there's some conspiracy. He believes he was on his way to win that fight. And that's why he's a bad motherfucker. He would have kept going. He would have, you know, he would have, with the eye injury, with the ear blowing up, with all that stuff, you know, Nate Diaz is a bad motherfucker. He lost that fight. There's no debate about it. He got his ass beat in that fight. But I don't hate Nate for being Nate. It's just, no. It's sort of par for the course. So I get it. And the reality is he won't retire. This is what happens every time something doesn't go either of their way. They talk shit like this. And you know, it's fine. But for Nate to think the UFC has something against him is psychotic. They love Nate Diaz. They love the fact that he's a massive star. They love that they want to put him in as many main events as possible because people will pay to see him. This is business, okay? There's nothing personal about this. There's no emotion there. The UFC sees the star that Nate Diaz is, and believe me, they want him to continue to win. They want him to continue to be able to sell pay-per-views. So that whole thing, it's just, it's a little crazy, but the Diaz brothers are crazy.
So the thing is, and this is, you know, listen, I love to watch Nate fight and I love to watch Nick fight. I am a huge fan of both of them. You know, I really am. There's no way I was missing that fight on Saturday. There's no way I was missing the Pettis fight. they're great fighters. They bring excitement every time. And you're right, there is that aura, that element of, you know, the there's a wildness. You don't know what they're going to do or what they're going to say. And that's part of the attraction. I get that. But by losing this fight and then saying, okay, I'm going to retire because it didn't go his way, and then start, you know, coming out with conspiracy theories and things like that, it's wholly unattractive. And for him to say, I'm going to retire, he's only hurting himself, okay? He's in his mid-30s. I don't know, what is he like, 32, 33, 34 maybe, something like that, okay? This window doesn't last forever. I don't know what he got paid at New York, but it would have been a lot of money. I guarantee that. It's probably, in the region of a couple of million dollars, I would assume, right? The window of a fighter doesn't stick around forever. That window does not stay open. Get in, make as much money as you can while you can. He's only hurting himself. Now, on the flip side, and I hate to bring myself into the equation, but I lost fights. I lost number one contender matchups. I didn't retire and spit my dummy out and say, right, okay, that's it, I'm done. Okay, which, by the way, for the Americans, a dummy is a pacifier in England. And if a baby spits their dummy out, they're sulking, right? No, I said, no, I'm going to win. I'm going to be the champion. And I was almost foolish in my refusal to accept that I wouldn't be the champion one day. And every time I got knocked back, I'm like, no, I'm going to do this. I will achieve this. I lost a fucking eye, right? I was like, no, I'm still going to do this. I'm still going to fight. I'm still going to win. I'm going to move heaven and earth to make sure I pass these medicals. I'm going to do everything I can, fighting against people with a massive disadvantage, but still going out there until I achieved my goal, until I became champion of the world. Having one setback, getting beaten in a fight, and then saying, right, fuck it, that's it, I'm retired. I'm sorry, to somebody like me, I have zero respect for that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. But I just don't believe that he's really retired. We'll see. And maybe he will, because he does take, I mean, it was a really long time off between the Pettis fight. What was it, 2 years off? And these are, you're right, these are the most important years of his career. This is it right now. Nate Diaz is going to, and some would say, even looking at the Masvidal fight, some would say Nate Diaz has already started to slip, or not necessarily started to slip, but the guys that are at the head of the pack have started to pull ahead of where Nate's skill set is at. I mean, Masvidal beat his fucking ass. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yes, at the end of that third round, Nate was starting to come on and look better, and Masvidal was starting to look a little bit more tired, but I mean, what are the chances are that Nate was going to come back in that fight? I don't know. It was really bad. He was really getting his ass kicked. So
here's the thing. He's saying, first of all, after the fight, I had an injury. Okay. A lot of people go in there with injuries. Then he says, my game plan was to turn on the pressure in rounds 4 and 5. I'm sorry, if you have an injury where you say you couldn't do cardio, your game plan's not to save it for the 4th and 5th round, to save it for rounds that don't happen in any other fight. Normal fights only go 3 rounds, but you're saying you had an injury which stopped you from doing any cardio, and therefore your cardio was at a disadvantage, but you're going to save it for those 2 extra rounds that don't exist in anything other than a main event to turn on the heat. I don't buy that. And then when you lose, to say that you're retired, I mean, it's unattractive.
Was he saying that he was conserving his energy, though? Is there something to that about pacing himself for a 5-round fight versus, versus kind of blowing his load early because he knew he didn't have the cardio? Because when I heard that, I was like, oh, it sort of makes sense.
Let me tell you this. And let me ask you a question. This is a statement and a question. Let me know what you think. You go out there, you say, I'm going to fight. You think, I know, I'm going to develop a game plan where I'm going to conserve my energy. I'm going to turn it on in the later rounds, okay? But you go out there, and this guy is coming at you like a madman, and he's beating the fuck out of you. He's dropping you to the floor. He's making a mockery out of you in front of the entire world by beating the shit out of you. Let me tell you, when somebody's beating the shit out of you and you're a world-class fighter, you don't go, no, it's good. I'm waiting to the later rounds. You fight back. Because that's what we are. Inherently, we're fighters. You're fucking coming at me. You're dropping at me. You're beating the shit out of me. You're beating me so bad to a point where the referee's calling in doctors and they're looking at this like they might potentially stop the fight. You don't go, nah, man, I'm going to wait for another 2 rounds and then turn it on. No, you start fighting right then and there. Once again, to quote the great Mike Tyson, everybody has a game plan, but you get punched in the face or punched in the face repeatedly, dropped to the floor, nearly knocked out on multiple occasions. Yeah, fuck that. That's bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That's what I think. That's what I think. I don't know. And I apologize to Nate if I am wrong. I'm a fan of Nate. And maybe I'm just saying this because I want to see him fight. I don't want to see him retire. He brings a lot of excitement to the UFC. Now, maybe this is a negotiation tactic. You know, maybe it is. And if it is, then fair enough. You do you. But on the surface, it looks like he's retiring. And
yeah, we'll
like
see.
That.
We'll see. I don't believe it. I don't buy it. I think that he's back. He's sulking. He's emotional. The Diaz brothers also, they're so famous at this point. And you're right. You use that word sycophant a lot. I think that a lot of the times when you are in that position, how many people are really in his ear telling him it like it is, being like, dude, shut the fuck up. You look like a bitch right now. Nobody's saying that to Nate. You know what I'm saying? Like, his people around him that are, I'm assuming, are propping him up. So he needs a little bit of time to sort of like get his head together. I think we'll probably see Nate back, and who knows, maybe now. And I know the Cowboy Cerrone fight, they're talking about it, but you look at a time to do Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor 3. There's never been more of a ripe time. They're both coming off losses. They both have one win over each other, and it's a massive, massive fight that they're both, you know, with both of them losing, I don't believe that there's as much value in either of them fighting anybody else but each other. So you're talking about, you know, one of the big... Go ahead.
No, and they both won it. They both won, and as you said, huge fight for both of them. They both won that. They're both coming off losses now. Nate's probably, it sounds like he's taking a page out of Conor's book there. Let's remember, Conor's done that. Conor's retired whenever he wants, whenever he doesn't get his own way, whenever people don't pander to his needs. Thanks for the cheese. I'm out. He's done it twice. He's done it twice on two occasions. He's retired. You're right. I don't buy it. I think he will be back. He's emotional right now. He feels the UFC's against him.
Fuck him.
Nate and Nick have always had this. They've always felt like the UFC was working against them. I can't comment on that. I don't know. You know, not to my knowledge. And it doesn't look like they're operating against them, but I'm not Nick and Nate Diaz, so I don't know the ins and outs, but I would say that they're not. UFC want Nick Diaz and Nate Diaz in there fighting as frequently as possible because they do big, big business.
And if the UFC was against Nate Diaz, they would simply just put him against massive wrestlers like Rory McDonald, put him against guys that, you know, he has a hard time with stylistically. They seem to be giving him matchups stylistically that are really exciting and very winnable. I'm not saying that Nate can't win any matchup, but we've seen Nate struggle with some bigger wrestlers, much more so than he's struggled with strikers in the past.
All right, guys, this podcast is supported by Wix.com. There's a better way to build websites for your clients with Wix. Harness the latest web technology and innovative design tools to deliver professional results. You got to have a professional website. It's got to look good. If you've got a business, you got something to sell, you got a blog, just something about you that you want to put out to the masses, you need a website. But you need a good website. You will start with a blank page and design the layout that you want. Grow your business with a custom online store, an out-of-the-box booking system, and live chat, and you will publish it in a click and make edits very, very fast. Your clients will enjoy enterprise-grade security and automatic web hosting. These are very, very fancy technical terms, Lewis.
Another really cool element here, because this is, I just built my website again. I did build it on Wix, okay? They have built-in SEO and marketing tools, so they make driving web traffic to your site super easy. I have no idea how to use SEO. I have no idea really how to get, you know, up on the tracking on Google. They make it super easy to put in the correct words, to tag things correctly. You don't have to know anything about building a website to both build a website and to actually market your website to the masses.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you go to our website, which is
believemepod.com,
you'll see very, very professional websites, flawless, smooth, nice, built by Harrington. And you can do the same thing if you have a business. So please go check it out. Go to wix.com/believe. That easy. wix.com/believe, and you can start today building a website. Wix, scale your web business. Okay, where were we?
Look, we'll see what happens there. I really, obviously, Masvidal, we interviewed him on the last show. Massive fan of his now. I thought that funny, the tweet was funny. He retweeted us and he threw a little shade.
He said, I'm going to make you famous again, Bisping, which is hilarious. And you know what? I put an Instagram story on with a swipe up link and I tagged Masvidal. And obviously, when somebody tags you in a story, you can share that story to your story, right? So share your story. So when he shared that story, it popped up on mine as a private message on Instagram from Jorge Masvidal. And when I clicked on it, all it was, he shared that story. But above that story was
the beef
that me and him had. So I went through all that last night and I read it all, and it's very, very entertaining reading. But in that, I actually said, stop fucking trying to get famous by dropping my name. So I think that was a little dig there. He's like, you're welcome, Bisping. I just made you famous again. Fair play. And once again, thanks for joining us, Jorge.
That was great. But he also hashtag super necessary. So he gets it. The little winky face. And funny guy.
Playing. He's having fun.
He was a really great interview, and that's funny. We should have you guys next time he's on. We should write it out in a script, the back and forth between you and him, and you guys should perform your Instagram beef back and forth with each other.
No, he's great, man. He's awesome. As I said, thanks for joining us, and can't wait to see what he gets next. I mean, he should fight for the belt or a fucking huge fight. He was talking the other day about facing Canelo. We'll move on now in a second, but I'd like to see him face Canelo, you know, just simply because the amount of time served in the UFC or combat sports in general. I like to see anybody like that, a real fighter that's worked their way up the tough way. I like to see them get what they deserve. And I would love to see him to get a fucking huge $20 million payday. That would be beautiful. But
I apologize. I just want to sort of give my opinion on that because it is an interesting thing. And I think I disagree. I don't. It's not that I don't want to see him get a massive...
We talked about this at length on the last show. That's all. If you were around Lewis, you'd know. So I don't want to completely repeat Monday's
show. No, we don't. But let me just really quickly just give my opinion on. It's not even on that fight in particular. It's just in general. What I would like to see is mixed martial artists just getting $10-20 million paydays. I don't think that they should have to jump to another sport in order to do that. And I think that. I look at it the equivalent of somebody's like, oh, Masvidal's going to go play professional baseball for a couple games. That's as crazy as it seems to me that MMA fighters are jumping over. And I think it doesn't shine a very good light on MMA that they would need to leave the sport in order to go make more cash. So I think that the goal should be to just have the biggest, best sports in MMA. And let boxers box. Let the boxers come over to the UFC.
Hey, listen, and we'll get into this. It's not on the rundown, actually, but it should have been. I agree. But the reality is that that's not going to happen. I think the UFC is going to get there where eventually we are getting those kind of paydays that boxers get, but we're just not there yet. You know, we're closing the gap. You know, Conor makes good money. Khabib makes good money. Rousey was making good money. There is, you know, multi-million-dollar paychecks being thrown around these days, and we're closing the gap. We will get there. But it's funny, talking of this boxing MMA crossover, Tyson Fury is saying that he wants to come over and fight in the UFC, which is great. Francis Ngannou has said, listen, I'll welcome you to the Octagon. And they had some tweets back and forth.
You predicted
it. Now, Mike Tyson is saying that he'll train Francis Ngannou to take on Tyson Fury, which is fucking amazing.
That's retarded.
Why is that retarded?
Because he's going to train Francis Ngannou in MMA to fight Tyson Fury. It just doesn't make any sense. It's cute to have him in the corner, but what the fuck is Mike Tyson going to teach him in MMA?
No, he's going for the boxing match, idiot.
When
Francis Ngannou boxes Tyson Fury at boxing, Tyson's offered to train him. There's no better person out there, in my opinion. One of the most legendary fighters, one of the most legendary hard workers back in the day. And already here we see Tyson just spreading a little bit of knowledge, showing a couple of angles to Francis Ngannou, just showing a bit of body work and head movement and things like that. It's incredible. I'd love to see that. And we spoke about this. I'm telling you. Fury does get hit, and there's not many people on this planet that hit like Francis Ngannou. We've seen it time and time again. Ngannou is almost like the new Mike Tyson. One punch and you're going to sleep. He barely connects with people, flush, and they go down. Now, of course, you got to favor Tyson Fury in that fight. Of course you do. But I'm still saying, the man has that fucking punch. And if you can get on the inside and land it, you never know. And Tyson Fury, to his credit, said, hey, don't worry. Once I beat all these heavyweights in boxing, I'll come over to the UFC and you all can get it. Words to that effect. I'm not saying, that's not verbatim, but something like that.
Yeah, I thought that Tyson Fury was talking about coming over to MMA. That's why I was reacting to Mike Tyson training him for that. I still disagree. I think that in boxing, Tyson Fury will destroy Francis Ngannou. Once again, just a different sport, but you never know. You're right. He's got a puncher's chance. But Tyson Fury has been fighting against the heaviest punchers in the world for his whole career. So I just don't know if you were to actually measure the punching power of Francis Ngannou versus the average heavyweight boxer, I think you'd be surprised how much harder boxers are hitting than even Francis Ngannou.
Oh, you're talking about somebody that spent an entire life training combat sports. Oh, I'd be surprised, would I, to see that boxers hit harder? You mean they generate more power? You mean they spend from maybe when they're 3-4 years old figuring out the footwork, the torque of the hips to generate the power from the foot, which transfers up the leg to the hip. When you rotate the hip, it comes up through the body into the shoulders, and the mere hand is just an extension of the power traveling through the body to the opponent's face. I'd be surprised, would I, Lewis, that boxers can do that better than mixed martial artists. Wow, I had no idea that a boxer might have better boxing hands than a mixed martial arts fighter. You've blown my mind, Lewis. You have blown my mind.
I'm happy that I can teach you a thing or two about combat sports. Every once in a while, I blow my own mind. So...
I'm sure, Jesus Christ, you're pulling things off, you're blowing your own mind. Right, moving on real quick. John Jones, Dominic Reyes. John Jones came out this week. He said that they studied a lot. Just finished a coach's meeting studying Dominic Reyes and Corey Anderson's career. Established Dominic's definitely the more dangerous fighter, beating his ass next. What do you think, Lewis? What do you think? Be cynical. Because that might mean the opposite. That means we've looked at them both and he's thought, fuck that, give me Dominic Reyes, not Corey Anderson, right? You know, a cynic may say that.
Yeah, I don't know that I buy John Jones is just looking for necessarily the toughest fight and they're going by the metrics of their fighter. You know, the reality is this. I mean, Dominic Reyes, Corey Anderson, either one of them, I'm not like, oh my God, I got to watch them fight John Jones. I think John Jones handles either one of them. So yeah, I think John Jones, he is in a weird position though, because he has been, he's doing the opposite thing that Connor and Nate and these guys are doing. He is just calling out sort of the tougher fighters, no matter what way you want to slice it. It's not like these are massive money fights. It's not like he's talking about just fighting the heavyweight champion. That's the new thing that MMA fighters are doing. It's not even about who's next in line, the number one contender. At the very least, I'll give John Jones where credit's due. He is calling out the guys that are next in line and just saying, hey, dude, bring me the toughest fighters and I'm going to beat them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it, unfortunately, I mean, I agree with what you say, Dominic Reyes or Corey Anderson. They're not like the big fights that the public's clamoring for. But, you know, the state of the light heavyweight division right now, it is going to be one of them next. I'm looking at the rankings. Number one is DC. Well, he's gone. He's at heavyweight and he's probably going to have one more fight. Thiago Santos, Jones just beat him. Anthony Smith, Jones beat him before that. Then it's Dominic Reyes and Corey Anderson. So logically, it has to be one of those two next. You know, if he's going to continue to beat the guys in the light heavyweight division, I'd like to see him move up to heavyweight and take on some challenges there. But logically, and if you look at it, Reyes is actually ranked ahead of Corey Anderson anyway. Dana White came out of the weekend and said that Anderson, you know, he's not in a position to fight for the title just yet anyway. So there you go. There's the next fight.
To be honest with you, but if you look at who they both fought, I mean, Dominic Reyes, he hasn't really fought the stable of talent that Corey Anderson's fought. I mean, Anderson just beat Johnny Walker, which I know he's not like a massive name, but he was undefeated. He was the dude, remember, for a while, you've been being like, Johnny Walker's the guy that John Jones should be watching out for. Well, Corey Anderson just beat him. He's got the win over Ilir Latifi, Glover Teixeira, Patrick Cummins. I mean, he's got four in a row that are pretty damn impressive. And a win over Weidman, who, you know, Weidman is a middleweight coming up to 205, who's at the end of his career. It just doesn't make me go like, holy shit, that guy's next in line for a title.
I'll see. I will see your Corey Anderson wins his last four and raise you. Fucking Dominic Reyes' last four wins. Jared Cannonier knocked him out. Vincent Prue, who's now a former title challenger. Volkan Oezdemir, former title challenger. Chris Weidman, former champion. Okay, so they're four good wins. They're solid. They're very, very credible. Either way, that's going to be Jones's next fight. I look forward to seeing it. And you know what? I don't know if it's just simply because Jones is like, you know, sandbagging a little or taking his time, but I can see Dominic Reyes actually giving him some problems. I really can. He's a big, tall guy. He's young. He's confident. Is he undefeated? I think he's undefeated.
Yeah, he is.
12-0. Undefeated. So, yeah, it's an interesting fight. You give that a solid undercard. You know, I mean, listen, Jones, love him, hate him, whatever it is, you always want to see him fight. You know, he's one of the greatest fighters that we've ever had, possibly the greatest, you know, a lot of controversy, but still, you want to see this guy fight.
And honestly, Dominic Reyes, you never know. When you have a guy who's undefeated, you just never know. Who knows? Maybe we watch this fight, one round, John Jones wakes up, he's like, what the fuck happened? Dominic Reyes just knocked you out and took everything, and he's a massive star now, undefeated, without one little asterisk downward elbow on a poor deaf Matt Hamill as a blemish on your record, right? He doesn't have that. That's the other thing we don't really have with Khabib. He's the one. Is he the only undefeated champion? He is, right?
Who are you talking about?
Khabib.
Sorry, pardon me. I was just looking at something there. Yeah, I think so.
That is a big difference that we have in MMA with boxing. I mean, boxing back in the day, you used to see guys 30, 40, 50 and 0. And it looks so impressive. And then you get guys like, oh, this is the number one. Even the last weekend's main event, you look at Diaz and Masvidal, they had 11 losses each. It just looks weird when you're talking about elite level fighters, and it is a way different sport. There's way more. There's so many different ways to lose, but it speaks that much more to how good Khabib is to actually have a title and still be undefeated.
Oh, no, absolutely. All right, moving on. Big fights as well. Not big fights. There's an event happening in Moscow. The main event and co-main event are the ones that we'll discuss right here. UFC Moscow. Not Moscow. Moscow. Okay, Moscow. No, it's not. It's Moscow. Moscow. Just because it's C-O-W. Cow. Moscow. And you guys would say Melbourne. Melbourne. And the UFC just recently said, no, it's Melbourne. Just because it's written Melbourne, it's not pronounced Melbourne. It's pronounced Melbourne. Like Birmingham, it's Birmingham. Okay? And this is Moscow. It's not Moscow. Okay? Well, it is to me anyway. But
don't
co-main event. Go on.
Don't have a co, man.
not bad. So the co-main event is Alexander Volkov. And he was supposed to be taking on Walt Harris. Now, of course, unless you've been living under a rock and you don't follow anybody related to anything UFC, you've probably seen and heard what happened to Walt Harris. Walt Harris's teenage daughter, unfortunately, went missing. And I think it's getting up for close to 2 weeks now. There was a $5,000 reward on the table. Dana came out, added another 25,000. Somebody added, you know, there's been a lot of people making contributions. And I think now the reward stands at $105,000. Now, listen, of course, Walt Harris isn't fighting. This is everybody's worst nightmare. It's my biggest fear that something happens to one of my children, whether it be getting sick, you know, being in a car accident, or unfortunately something, you know, involving foul play, possible. You know, I don't even want to say what may have happened. But unfortunately, she has been missing for a while. Now, the police investigation, they have got somebody, they've got a suspect that they're looking for. This guy here, photo of person of interest in Anaya Blanchard disappearance. Scroll back up. I'll read in the headline there. Yeah, Anaya Blanchard. All right, don't. Stop moving the fucking thing. There we go. Photo of person of interest in Anaya Blanchard case released. Auburn police seek public assistance in identifying the subject. And he looks like a piece of shit. Whoever that person is, and I can only say, and I think I speak on behalf of you, Lewis, as well, I hope and pray and send all my positive vibes that she turns up unharmed, because it's just terrible. It's just awful.
Yeah, it is terrible. I can't imagine. We talk so much. One of the themes of this show, when I give the elevator pitch of what this show is about, I say it's about MMA, life, parenting. It's just a major theme of this show. It's a major theme of our lives. I mean, honestly, when we became friends and we started doing the radio show together, I think one of the things that made me like you so much as a person, I think is probably the same thing with me, is the fact that you're such a great father and, you know, you really give a shit. You know, being for me, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again, I think who somebody is as a parent, that is one of the most telling things as to who they are as a human being, you know, because they are shaping the future. They're shaping, they're touching so many other lives by raising a good kid and raising a kid in a good way. And I think that is so much more valuable than even the dumb fucking mistakes that we've made in our past and all the other things. Like there's a lot of value there. So, I know how much you care and I can only imagine what he's going through. It sucks. The whole thing sucks. I think we should make sure we keep on retweeting that stuff. You know, it's surprising how much it helps when you guys share that stuff. I try to do that whenever I see it. When people post stuff on Twitter and they say, hey, it takes a second, just retweet this. Even if I don't know the person, I try to do that because you never know who's going to just come across a photo. I lost my dog a few years ago in Harlem. He ran out the backyard and Sal Vulcano from the Impractical Jokers retweeted the missing thing. And that's literally what got my dog back because it just started getting shared so much because, you know, he has such a massive following. So retweet those things.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's just a push of a button. That's all it is. And if some people don't want to do that, it's like, what the fuck, man? You never know. You never know. It might just reach the person that has the information. It's the push of a button. Like yesterday. In fact, we'll try and get him on the show. Alex Davies is one of the main managers involved in Brazilian mixed martial arts. And he looks after a lot of guys at American Top Team. He sent me a link yesterday, one of his guys. They've got a GoFundMe. He's had a brain hemorrhage from his weight cut and the fight that he had, and he's now got a brain hemorrhage and more than likely won't be able to fight again. And hopefully he's going to make a full recovery. But they have a GoFundMe page, you know, that they're trying to raise, I believe it's $10,000. You know, he needs to help for his medical supplies and things like that. So I'm going to retweet that and I'm going to actually donate myself, you know. And he's like, thank you very much. I'm like, don't be silly. It's the least I can do. And as I say, I will make a small, a reasonable donation.
Well, this is also why, as it relates, people do this all the time. People hit me up and be like, hey, I have a GoFundMe. Can you please share it? I sort of pick and choose which ones I'm going to share because, number one, it loses its value. If I share every GoFundMe, every day if I'm sharing a GoFundMe or some, you know, crowdfunding thing, people are going to go, this guy doesn't actually care. And they're going to be less likely to donate when I do it. And people will all the time, dude. They'll be like, dude, I'm late on my rent. Can you please share this GoFundMe? I'm like, yeah. Are you out of your fucking mind? You're late on your rent?
This is what I was going to say. You've got to be careful with the GoFundMes. You have got to look at them because now anybody can set up a GoFundMe for anything. And an example is struggling to come to mind right now, but I have seen, I mean, you just said late on my rent. I've seen GoFundMes for the most ridiculous thing. So it is being abused and the people in power at GoFundMe should bring in some kind of criteria and guidelines so that it isn't abused, you know, so that some lazy fuck that doesn't want to go out and get a job, you know, I mean, so I've seen it just because they want luxury items or I want to go on vacation to here and I feel like I really deserve it. I've always wanted to go to Thailand in a month and travel across Southeast Asia, you know, so I'd like you to fund me and here's my GoFundMe page. It's like, well, listen, we all want a lot of things, you know, and unless you win the lottery, you don't get things for free. You have to work, you know.
But there was one girl, there was a comedian that I knew and she was like, yeah, I have mental health issues and I just need to take the next 3 months off to get my head clear. So I just want to have my bills paid for the next 3 months. And I'm like, yeah, we all have mental health issues. Welcome to being human. Everyone's fucked up. Everybody's got their own shit. If I were to sit here and break down my psychological issues and the anger issues and all the other bullshit that I've had in my life and then go, hey, you know what? I've had it pretty rough. Can you pay for my bills? In my opinion, it's what's wrong with society. That right there is what is wrong with society. And you need to motivate people to just get up, regardless of the trials and tribulations, because everyone's got them. And you need to say, in spite of that, you need to go out and you need to do what you need to do.
So the thing is, I'm an ambassador. A mental health ambassador for the Frank Bruno Foundation. Frank Bruno is a legendary boxer from the UK. He was a former world champion, a very, very charismatic guy. He's been retired for a long time. And he had a lot of mental health issues, you know, he very, very public as well. It wasn't pretty, but now he's fine. So he has the Frank Bruno Foundation. As I said, myself, Tyson Fury, and a few others, we're all ambassadors. So yeah, I mean, I would love to. We got to get Frank Bruno on the podcast sometime. But yeah, I'd like to do it in person in England when we go there or I go there, because for me it'd be a huge thing. And as I said, I'm one of his ambassadors, so you know, I'm sure he'd do that. And it's a great cause, because mental health these days, it's so important, and a lot of people struggle with it. And often when you see people that are smiling, they're the ones that are dying inside. I mean, look at Robin Williams, for crying out loud. So it is a very, very important issue that needs to be tackled, needs to be given the respect it's due. But I do see, I don't see, but I assume that there's a lot of people, it's the trendy word, and they're looking for sympathy, and people abuse it. They do. I see people that I know that they talk about anxiety issues, you know, they're on their Instagram stories talking about their anxiety, but then in the evening they're out popping bottles in nightclubs, you know, and not looking to me like they've got fucking huge anxiety issues. And if I'm being a little naive there, I apologize. But as I say, I do feel that some people do try and, you know, take advantage of this respect that is given to mental health and try and, you know, maybe just look for the sympathetic voice sometimes. I'm not saying everybody, and I'm saying it is a very important issue, but there is some people out there, you know. They want to be a victim.
Yeah, victimhood is addictive. And, you know, you made fun of me on the Halloween episode where it's like, you know, you're doing the impression, maybe you're like, oh, I grew up poor, baby boy, my mom, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yeah, the reason that those stories keep on coming up is because it's an addictive thing to get people going like, aw, you had to deal with that?
No, I only said those things because they are mentioned constantly throughout the YouTube comment section. Okay.
Yeah, no, but,
they mention it all the time. So therefore I was just, you know, appealing to all this. It's a running joke in the comment section. Like, hey, Louis,
of course. Well,
know,
no, the point that I'm making though is that, like, yeah, the reason that it keeps on coming up for me is because being a victim is addictive. And, you know, by the way, I speak for 12 hours a week on these podcasts.
Because it's a real issue, though. It was a real issue. And it obviously, same with me. I had my issues as a child. And so, therefore, it's left a psychological scar. And therefore, you got to talk about it. You got to talk about these things. Sometimes I'll talk about stuff to Rebecca. And she's like, oh, God, here we go again. We got to hear about this. She hates it when me and my brothers get together, because all we talk about is old time shit that went on when we were younger. She's like, fucking hell, do you have to do this? Every time you guys get together and have a drink, the same stories get said. So, well, yeah. We don't see each other very often, and we do like to talk about certain things.
I deal with that at the holidays, too. Me and my sister will get together, and we'll just... It's not that we're shitting on my mom or we're shitting on our childhood. It just sounds... I guess it sounds that way, right? It sounds like we're... It's not even woe is me. We're laughing about, like, the shit we had to deal with. So we're telling the stories about my mom being abusive or the poverty we grew up in or whatever it is, and we're almost, like, making fun of it, being like, yeah, it's fucking crazy, right? And my aunt, my great aunt, I should say, gets upset. And she's like, oh, just stop. Like, you know, your mom's not even here anymore. And I'm like, Emery, we're not trashing her. We're just sort of reliving it. And we're talking about it. And, you know, to be honest with you, and you're a very similar person, the way that I grew up is we sort of made fun of each other. We made jokes about things. And the bullshit we had to deal with, it's why I became a comedian, we made fun of it. And that's sort of how we dealt with it. So I think maybe people that don't have that attitude or don't sort of like... self-deprecating or whatever it is, they see it and they go like, fuck, dude, I don't want to hear about these awful problems, because it makes them feel bad. But you're like, dude, I'm trying to fucking have my own therapy right now.
Oh, no, for sure. And then sometimes, you know, people don't want to hear that stuff, because it's like, dude, I came in for a lighthearted night. I came out. I don't get out very often. Okay. My wife doesn't give me a pass very often. I want to come out. I want to joke. I want to be merry. I want to have some drinks. I don't want to sit here and listen to you fucking going, woe is me, about your childhood all night. But that was the longest segue in the history of podcasting into the co-main event of Greg Hardy stepping up on short notice to fill the shoes of Walt Harris.
How did we get there? I want to know how we were introducing the co-main event and we got to mental health and talking about families at Thanksgiving. That was crazy.
Guys, can I just do a little bit of housekeeping here?
Please.
It was actually JDS who fell out. Walt Harris is being replaced on the DC event.
Well, go fuck yourself, Harrington. Edit all of that. Never mind. Reset.
Yeah, either way, dickface, fucking Greg Hardy. Who's Greg Hardy stepping in for then?
Junior Dos Santos. He had that nasty leg infection.
Right. Yeah, that's hilarious. This is about Walt Harris. We went into a 15-minute-long diatribe about Walt Harris.
No, but But it does need talking about, and Walt Harris is out of his fight for obvious reasons. So Greg Hardy stepping in. He just fought recently against, I forget his name, the Combat Wombat from New Zealand, Benson Soley, I believe. And, you know, it was a close fight. You know, it was a close fight. Greg Hardy clearly won. Gotta admire the balls on Greg Hardy here, right? He's been a busy man. I think this will be his fifth fight of the year. And he's taking a massive, massive step up in competition. Volkov is a supreme striker. He's beating some top of the food chain guys. He's beating people like former champion Fabrizio Verdum. And Greg Hardy, you know, he's new to his UFC career. You know, it wasn't that long ago. It was only last year he was on the contender. You know, he's fresh. He's a rookie. You know, he's an absolute rookie in mixed martial arts. And now he's going in against somebody like this. Not to say he doesn't have the punching power to pull off an upset. But I got to imagine, on the bookies, he's going to be a massive, massive underdog. Is that correct, Harrington? Have you got any odds there?
Well, less than you'd think, actually. Greg Hardy, it looks like, is only about like plus 225 or so.
That's crazy.
Not even the biggest underdog of the main and co-main events.
That's crazy, dude. I think, dude, if you want to spend some, make some money, not hating on Greg Hardy, but, I mean, Volkov is a fucking monster. Greg Hardy is virtually untested against any sort of major competition. Volkov's got wins over Fabrizio Verdum, Stefan Struve, Roy Nelson. Those are the big ones. I mean, just, look, Greg Hardy just has also not looked that impressive in his outings, like against guys who are lower-tier heavyweights.
And not to mention that Volkov was convincingly beating Derek Lewis when they fought, and that was Volkov's last fight, which was last year, UFC 229. Volkov was in the driving seat. He was winning that fight clearly, and in the dying seconds, with 11 seconds left in the third round, Lewis knocked him out. He knew he had to knock him out to get the finish, and to get the win, and he did. He got that, and that was so impressive about Lewis. But the point I'm making is, he was even beating Derek Lewis. He beat Verdum, he beat Struve, he beat Roy Nelson and Timothy Johnson. So the man's a beast. He's got pure, beautiful, clean kickboxing, striking. You know, Hardy is a great athlete. He's super explosive. He hits fucking hard, but he has not got the skills or the experience that Volkov has. But you got to step up at some time. You do have to step up at some time, and he may pass the test. And if he does, God bless him, we now have a heavyweight contender on our hands, you know, because it's two men enter. You know, we're only human beings, and he can hit hard. He can hit very, very hard. But you're right. In his first one of the year, he got disqualified by the knee to the downed opponent. And then I think he had two fights where he won, and they weren't, you know, they were wins, but they weren't incredible victories.
Well, his last fight was overturned. No contest because of the inhaler.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. And this time they're saying definitely no inhaler allowed. But you're right, that was overturned. And that was only a few weeks ago as well.
Yeah.
You know, so listen, a lot of people like to hate on Greg Hardy because of his past. We spoke about this at length. I believe people deserve a shot of redemption if they're sorry. And, you know, you got to respect that. He's got balls, man. He's stepping in there against a killer, flying out to Moscow on short notice after just fighting the other week. Got to respect that as a fighter.
He's also setting a record. The first time ever a UFC heavyweight will fight five times in a calendar year.
Yeah, he's trying. He's doing that well. He's stepping up. He's fighting, you know, a guy who is probably going to kill him. I give him credit there. My problem with him is he's got this crazy past, and I'm with you. Number one, I believe, he served his time. He, you know, I guess they went through the process with court. You know, it is what it is. I'm not going to hold the guy accountable for every mistake he's made. We weren't there. They went through that process. The UFC, you know, they really care about their branding and the marketing, and they said, fuck it, we looked into it. We're going to give this guy a shot. So I've moved on from that mentally, right? My problem is he does himself no favors when he gets caught cheating multiple times, illegal knee, inhaler, just sort of his whole thing, the way he carries himself is he carries himself like a villain. And it's not, and then you look at, it's not like he's carrying himself like a villain where it's like fake and it's just a bad guy pro wrestling. Then he's got this past and you're like, oh, dude, I don't know. I have a hard time rooting for Greg Hardy. And I think that he's going to probably get his ass kicked. I'm legitimately putting money down on this fight because the fact that he's only a plus 225 underdog is batshit.
Well, I hate to break it to you. I hate to break it to you. By the way, I do agree with what you're saying there, because he isn't carrying himself with the remorse that you would like to see, and trying to rebuild his public image. He has been cheating. He kneaded down upon it. He got disqualified. His last fight, he had the inhaler. He didn't carry himself in an overly apologetic way afterwards at the post-fight press conference. You know, and he's playing up to the whole bad guy thing. So you're right. He's not doing himself any favors.
Well, Mike,
looking
to be fair,
at the... Go on.
He claims that he got a special dispensation. He was told heading into the fight that he was going to be cleared to use the inhaler.
I know. But you can't. You can't. You know, so I know that, Harrington, but thank you for messing up my flow there. I appreciate it. The thing is, where was it? What was I saying?
I don't know. Harrington really just fucking destroyed the flow. It was so good. By the way, you were doing so good, Mike. I was getting goosebumps in the middle of this speech. And then,
to tell me something that I know, tell me something that I know that was like addressed all over the media at the time. It was on like every single fucking website. I saw a video of Dana saying, yeah, that may have been, but the commission have to say yes. And Dean Thomas, his coach, should have known better. You cannot fucking snort an inhaler in between rounds, okay? I don't care what, you just can't, you know? Anyway, naive, put it down to a lack of experience. Anyway, the point I'm making is he's going over there to Moscow, into the backyard, you know, what's his name? Volkov, there we go, pardon me. And it's a tough fight. And when you look at the form he had, Juan Adams, he knocked him out, and Dmitry Smolyakov, he knocked him out as well. They're guys that are, you know, way down the pecking order in terms of skill. Alan Crowder, again, that fight was, you know, he started off well, but Alan Crowder was turning it on. His last fight against Ben Tesoli, he won that. But again, that's a lower level guy. And it went to a decision. So I was going to say to you, Lewis, you said you are legitimately going to put money on this. And I will say this. You are legitimately going to put on $150 for me, because you owe me $150. We bet physical money, not Bitcoin. Harrington sent an email today, so blame Harrington, because I'd forgotten all about it. It had escaped me. I had forgotten. I didn't care. But Harrington sent me an email saying, Lewis owes you $150 hard cash currency, real money, right? So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to betdsi.com. You're going to use the promo code BELIEVE, and you're going to put on $150. And when you win, you're going to give it to me.
That's not the promo code. It's BYM120 for everyone. Don't try to use that promo code. We actually get paid for these things.
Yeah, so you're going to go to BYF. You're going to go to betdsi.com, and you're going to use the promo code BYM120. You're going to put $150 on for me, and then when I win with your money...
What is that going to turn into? What is that going to turn into, though? Because it's $150 with 120% bonus.
But I don't know the odds right now. So, but what I was going to say is, what you are going to do, though, what I guarantee you're going to do is, you're not going to put the bet on, and you're going to hope that Volkov doesn't win and say, see, Mike, unfortunately, you lost your bet. I guarantee that's what's going to happen.
I would never do that. And what I'm saying is, with promo code BYM120, it's 120% match bonus. So you get 150, 300, then 20% of 150 is 30? Yeah. So you actually get $330, Michael, if I put your 150 on.
Well, let's go, baby boy. I'm rich. I did it. I've hit the big time. Okay. So, there you go. That's my prediction. All right, guys, let's just take a quick second to hear about betdsi.com. You know the drill if you've heard the show. They've been in business for over 20 years. They're A-plus rated on all sportsbook review websites. They have a history of fast payment of winnings. And if you're going to watch a fight, if you're going to watch a game, you're going to watch the basketball, the baseball, whatever it is, if you want to bet on something and have more fun, this is the place to do it, because of all the reasons I just said, and it always makes it better. When you've got skin in the game, or when Lewis has my skin in the game, when Lewis owes me $150 and he's going to put it on betdsi.com, it makes it great. I'll be watching this fight with great, keen interest, because I have a lot of money on the line, and you could do too if you go to betdsi.com and use the promo code. But Lewis, tell them how fantastic betdsi.com is.
It's incredible. Really easy to use as well. A lot of times when you go on these gambling sites, it's hard to figure it out. This is such an intuitive system. You click around, a few minutes later you've put money down. let me explain to you something. Just go right now, flip a coin with your best friend and put $100 on if it's going to land on heads or tails. Watch how exciting coin flipping becomes in that moment. Watch you and your friend freaking the fuck out every time that coin goes into the air. Now apply it to already exciting sports like mixed martial arts, football, baseball, basketball, whatever it is. You can only imagine how much more fun it is. And we make it easy as well, because if you use the promo code BYM120, we're going to give you 120% bonus match on any of the sportsbook games, meaning that anything you're gambling on, if it's actually from sports, not the not like the poker or anything like that. But in the sportsbook, they give you 120% bonus. That means you put $100 down, you get to play with 220. Throw that money on the fights this weekend. I'm telling you right now, me and Bisping are both betting heavily on Alexander Volkov to beat Greg Hardy. But you do whatever you want. You know what? Honestly, if you find better odds, you want to really get crazy and gamble, get the biggest underdog on the card, and holy shit, you got some free money. Now you're taking a vacation with the missus. Everything is great in life. It is BetDSI.com. The promo code is BYM120. Get that bonus match and enjoy the sports this weekend. All right, where were we?
I wish Greg Hardy the best. I do, because I've met him multiple times, and he was very nice. I got to say, you know, I treat people how they treat me. I've met him, and he was very nice. He was polite. He was a gentleman. He was super respectful. Main event, Kelvin Kattab, Zabit Magomed Sharipov. What do you know, Lewis? What do you know?
I now know how to say Mega Red Mashif Sharipov. Thank you very much, Michael Bisping. I was having a hard time that one. To be honest, I don't know much about Zabit. I know that he's another badass Russian. He's got 6 KO and TKO victories, okay. None inside of the UFC.
I got it. And here's what you could have said. You said, like, well, you know, like Magomed Sharipov and Kelvin Kattab, they're coming in with a combined 9-1 with 6 finishes. And these two UFC men have taken the featherweight division by storm since joining the company in 2017.
That's not how you talk. That's not how Bisping talks.
To beat himself as 6 KO/TKO victories, but none inside the UFC. Instead, he has made his bones with some of the wildest submissions in MMA history. He has been using his beanpole size and length to do things to his opponents no one else has been able to. Most notably, the Sulaweb stretch against Brandon Davis.
Yes, I also could have just read that.
That's Harrington's notes, everybody. But that's what you should have done. I said, what do you know if you think on the fly, if you're going to, you know.
No, I don't want to fucking just read Harrington's shit words. I was going to say the words using his beanpole size and length. Ugh.
That sounds like you're doing something else using your beanpole.
I'm using my beanpole.
Listen. Ooh, pulling it off your beanpole. Zabit, man, is great. He's awesome. I think he's another undefeated guy, right? I think he's undefeated, Harrington. Or he's got one loss early in his career.
Yeah, lost on the regionals in Russia.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Hey, no, he's good, though. He's great. He's an excellent striker. Jeremy Stephens gave him a good run, though. He clearly won the fight, but he couldn't finish Jeremy. And Jeremy, you know, Jeremy did give him problems. Kelvin Kattab, or Cater, he's a beast, man. He's a fantastic fighter to watch. This is a tough fight to pick. You got to lean towards a beat in this one, simply because of the size, simply because of the style and the skills that he has, the grappling and the striking, and the fact that it's, I wouldn't say in his backyard, but it's over there. It's his neck of the woods. Kelvin Kitt is going over there. He's got the time difference. He's got the flight. He's got the jet lag. And he's got enemy territory. You know, so for that, I'll lean towards the beat. But Kelvin ain't no walk in the park for anyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's what time is this fight? Is this going to be in the evening or is this during the day?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I gotta take a look and see, because I have gigs on Saturday night. I'm excited. Look, anytime the UFC at this point, they just put on great shows. Even when it's not like a super, you know, popular main card or main event where, you know, these are household names. For the most part, I think a lot of those times those are end up being better fights and better fight cards, because those guys are hustling harder to try to get to the main show and get to the spotlight. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'll be watching.
All right. Well, listen, it's been a good one. We've been going for a while. Let's do some questions and we'll finish off this bad boy, because as I said earlier, I've got to head to the airport shortly. UFC gym, Nottingham. If you're in the Nottingham area, please come by. I'll see you there. And I'll be there signing autographs, kissing babies, you know, shaking hands, that type of thing. Just being a man of the people, Lewis.
After 6 hours, he's signing babies and kissing autographs. was like, oh, I got confused.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But no, that does happen because you do start to lose your mind because you have the same conversation every 30, 45 seconds. They walk up, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Oh, where are you from? Oh, you did? You had that fight? Wow, that's amazing. You got something I need to sign? You sign that. Oh, that's great. Oh, you are. Oh, great. Oh, you listen to the podcast. Amazing. Well, oh, you want to do a picture? Ka-ching, ka-ching. Okay, well, listen, you look after yourself. Great to meet you. Take care. They walk off. Next person. Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. What's your name? Oh, you were? You went to that fight? Oh, great. Would you like a picture? And now, don't get me wrong. They're great. They're very, very positive interactions. I love doing it. But after like 3 hours of that, you've had the same conversation like 1,000 times. And you do start to doubt your existence, whether you're living in a fucking weird reality. It is. It throws you off. But it's always fun.
That?
It's always
great. Do you hear that, people? Do something to make Michael Bisping remember you, okay? Don't just come up and have a normal conversation. Make sure that he knows you were there. That means if you have to get crazy, you have to touch him in weird places that nobody's ever touched him before, you just go ahead and do it.
One of the last ones in England, I was given a trophy, the best segue in podcast in history. I remember that guy. I remember his kids. But, you know, listen, I can't wait to meet you all. Looking forward to it. UFC Jim Nottingham. Check it out. And without further ado,
real quick, I want to plug a couple things. And also special shout out to the guy who works at my deli around the corner from my apartment. I was in there today buying aspirin, and he goes to give it to me. He's like, where do I know you from? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, are you a podcaster? And I was like, yeah. He goes, oh, Bisping, believe you me. And it's just the dude who works in the deli in Harlem. It's pretty awesome. So, Shad, I know he's listening. I'm going to start going to that deli.
No, good God, Lewis, that is not what he said. He said to you, oh, my God, do I know you? He said, you come in here every day. And I say, I recognize this person. And he said, you look very familiar to me. Are you a podcaster? Do you do podcast?
Very racist. This is a white guy. It was an old Italian guy.
This is not racist. This is, you go to India, this is how they talk. You go to England, this is how they talk. Yo, man, you go to fucking Brooklyn, baby. This is how they fucking talk there. You got to. Oh, good eye, mate. You got down in Australia, and this is how they talk there. There ain't no fucking racist, mate. I ain't being racist. I'm just saying that's how they talk, mate. You know what I mean? So if you're talking to an Indian guy in Delhi, this is how they talk.
You but my problem is, Mike, I
you
never said.
You said to me this morning, oh, you said he was Indian.
I know, but the fans listening to the podcast have no idea. It just sounded like you were racist. You just started doing an Indian accent. I mentioned a Delhi.
Yeah, but you said on the text, an Indian guy. You're the one being racist. Why are you going to specify his fucking origin?
He probably wasn't Indian. He's probably Pakistani, to be honest with you, but fuck it.
Edit this bit out.
All right, real quick. If you love the show, real quick, couple things. Number one, go to our iTunes right now. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. If you guys are on iTunes, that is the best way you guys can get other people to get the show. It shows up and it gets up higher in the rankings. We want to obviously be in the top of the sports category. So go do that right now. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. Subscribe on our YouTube channel. You guys can just simply search Believe You Me Podcast or Michael Bisping Podcast, and you guys can find our YouTube channel. All the latest video episodes are available right there and then. And also, if you want the entire on-demand library, uncensored and ad-free, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 14-day free trial. You get access to this show and plus all the other amazing podcasts that I do here on the network. And then last but not least, if you guys want to join the conversation, shoot us an email, bympod@gmail.com. is the email address, bympod@gmail.com. You could shoot us your video questions, audio questions, fan art, whatever it is. We go through it every single week, and we pick out the best questions to answer on the show.
So I know we had multiple questions and things like that, but I've only really got time for one because we've got some other things to do after this. So let's just do the one video question. Then unfortunately, I got to dash because I do have a lot of things to do, and I've got about 2 hours before I leave for the airport. I got to park. I've got some errands I need to run. So unfortunately, let's just do the video question, and then I've got to bail. My apologies.
All good. Very, very cool. We'll answer some of the other questions later on as well, later on in the week. So I know we have a few in the can.
Sure.
So without further ado, who is this from, Harrington? Do we have a name?
We do not.
Oh. Hey, guys. Huge fan. Listen every week. It's awesome. Keep up the good work. Quick question about the weight loss thing. Me and my best friend, we're in on it. You know, we're having a great time. Seeing who could win. Also trying to see who can make the podcast the most. And his name is Mitch. You showed him on the first and only time you showed anybody on the podcast as far as weight loss thing is concerned. So clearly he's winning. I'm getting a lot of shit for it. If you recall, he was the flabby tit guy that hadn't done a push-up in years. And Mike, I think Rebecca may have had a little thing for him. You might want to check on that. Just wondering if you guys are planning on showing anybody else, because getting a lot of shit for this, and it'd be real cool if you guys could maybe at least show a few more people, specifically me, Cliff. But yeah, guys, keep up the good work.
Well, I'll start off straight away by saying Harrington, his name was Cliff. Okay, if you did a little bit of research,
you didn't watch the video. It's fucking just annoying. It's annoying because he had a different video question at the beginning of the show, which means I know he just fucking played that one. He literally just didn't watch it. He didn't wonder about it. It was a long ass question. It wasn't even a real question. It was him complaining about us not showing his flabby body.
And that video could have been anything. That could have been anything. That could have been my arch nemesis, like my biggest rival or enemy in the world, sending in, saying some like personal stuff. You know what I mean? Guys, we got to do better. But Cliff, I will say this, Harrington had his top off. You know, he showed the goods. He showed the money. Lewis, let's do it, baby boy. Let's see what we're working with. Come on.
No, I need another day or two.
Oh, dearie me. But Cliff,
let's see you. Let's see your fat body.
I'm good, baby boy. I'm good. When you do it, I'll do it. If you did it now, I'll go now. But if you don't want to go now, I'm not doing it. I'm not being the only one to strip off like some kind of weirdo. But Cliff, keep up the good work. Avoid the carbs. Avoid the sugars. Go for a little bit of run. Maybe a little of exercise. Maybe a Peloton bike. But get your resistance training in. Also, but keep it up, okay? Harrington bear it all. Lewis will not, but still.
We'll do a Monday show. How about this? Monday show, we'll do a topless.
No, I'm traveling all weekend, okay? I'm going to be in England, and Monday we can't record. Tuesday we are recording. On that note, I got to say farewell. I got to go. I got people to see. My pets' heads are falling off. I got bags to pack, people to see, places to go.
Babies to kiss.
Babies to kiss, tits to sign, I hope. Nottingham, we'll see you there. Lewis, have a great weekend. Brian, thank you very much. Harrington, you interrupt me again, I'll kill you. And on that note, I bid you farewell. Have a great weekend. Love you all. Lewis, what have you got?
That's it, baby boys. Love you guys. I'll be touring all over the place. Go to Lewis J. Gomez Presents, lewisjgomez.com if you want to see me perform live as well. That's that. We'll check you next Tuesday. I believe you, me.